Luke 17, verse number 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go, shew yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, and it came to pass as they went, oh God, they were cleansed. As they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, my God. Thy faith hath made thee whole. God bless you in Jesus' name. You may be seated. I want to preach this thought. Healed versus made whole. Healed versus made whole. The incident recorded here in the book of Luke is the beginning of the Lord's final, last journey to Jerusalem before his death. This is where he says that he enters into this certain village, and there are 10 lepers that stood afar off. Perhaps their common misery had drawn the 10 of these men together. Lepers of that day, we understand, tended to gather together. We see that recorded throughout the Old Testament and some in the New, specifically in 2 Kings chapter 7. Even the Samaritan had joined himself. There's some significance here, so just bear with me as I try to lay a little bit of foundation here. This Samaritan had also joined himself with the other 9 that were apparently Jewish lepers, because it pulls him out and makes him separate from the other 9. They are there together because they were in a very hopeless situation. They all had leprosy. Amen. And it was according to the law that they could not come in contact with the average person. They were to tell and cry aloud with a loud voice everywhere that they went. If somebody started to get near, they were to cry out, cover their mouth, and cry out, unclean, unclean, unclean. What a horrible thing to think that we would have to do something like that today if we were sick and had such a contagious disease that everywhere we went, we had to cry out, unclean, unclean. And you can imagine the looks. You can imagine the fear. You can imagine the anxiety that would be in people, that would be around those individuals as they would flee away, as they would try to skirt way around where they were at. Amen. This group was doomed, amen, to keep their distance from everybody according to the law. Well, as this group was stood there and announcing their uncleanness, the Lord and his company was coming by into that village. And they began to call upon him. Hope had undoubtedly revived in their life once again, because they had heard of the stories of Jesus and how he had healed lepers before. And that it might be possible possible that they themselves would be healed likewise. In verse 13 is where they begin to lift up their voice and cry out to Jesus and call him Master. And more importantly, they ask him to have mercy upon them. And you say, and you ask the question, have mercy? Of course. Of course he would have mercy. There isn't even a question in the mind of the Master as to whether or not he would have mercy. But he would also put their faith to the test. Let me tell somebody here this morning that you can cry out for mercy, but there will be a test of your faith. There's going to be some requirement on your part. There's going to be some action required on your part. When you cry out for mercy, undoubtedly God's ready to give it to you. But he's also going to put your test, your faith, to the test. And when he did that by saying, go show thyself unto the priest. If we go back through history, we can see that there was a requirement that if you were to be cleansed from leprosy, it was a very long, lengthy, in-depth process that they would have to go through. All of these things would have to be done. Sacrifices would have to be made. It was a very expensive thing to be performed in order for one to be cleared or to be cleansed by the priest from leprosy. And undoubtedly, these men, as they heard the story how Jesus touched a leper before and his leprosy was cleansed, I have a feeling that they were hoping that Jesus would do the same thing for them and touch them and make them clean. And yet, that is not what happened. He did not touch them. I think that they probably thought, man, wouldn't this be some kind of testimony if Jesus came over here and just wiped his hand on all 10 of us and bam, what a mighty miracle would happen all in one fell swoop, that 10 lepers were completely cleansed.
Right.
But he didn't do it that way. He changed it, and he said, I want you to go show yourself to the priest and do according to the law. Do according to the law. And as these men began to walk away and go show themselves to the priest, this is a very in-depth and thorough examination that needed to be done. But as these men turned, the scripture said that when they turned and as they went. I don't know how it happened, but it's a very fascinating story. And so through my mind's eye, I tried to think of how it was as they went. They hear Jesus say, go show yourself to the priest. The first man turns around and he takes a step. I don't know what happened, but I wonder if there underneath his garment was a sore of leprosy that every step he took would cause him pain and discomfort. But when he took that first step, he was like, wait a second. What? I don't feel that anymore. What happened? And then the next guy, as he started to take a step behind him, he had the same occurrence where there was a sore maybe on his elbow or on his shoulder where his garment would begin to rub that raw. He realized, wait a second, I don't feel any sore anymore. And maybe the third guy, as he started to walk away, he looked at his hand where there was an oozing sore that was dripping with ooze off of his hand, began to turn a bright pink as God began to cleanse and heal that leprosy, and it slowly began to go away as they went to show themselves to the priest. I think from that point they began to look at each other and say, whoa, dude, you remember that sore that was there? It was oozing just a minute ago. Look, it's gone. And the other one says, yeah, the one that was on my shoulder, I don't feel it anymore. The one that was on my leg, it's gone. And they began to talk back and forth and examine and look at each other and talk and say, I've been cleansed. It really did happen. Look at me. I don't have the sores that I used to have.
Right.
You may not be that excited.
That's
not. excited about it. Because when I think about that, what excitement must have been in their heart, because the actuality of the matter was they had a death sentence on them of never returning to their family, never seeing their nieces and nephews, never seeing their grandchildren. They had a death warrant on them because of this disease. But now, as they are walking, as they are leaping, as they are jumping, as they're smacking each other on the back, saying, "Hey, look at this, I'm clean."
Yeah.
You can imagine the excitement.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it changes. As Jesus is walking, watching them walk away, and they're rejoicing. The nine look at the other one and say, "Hey, dude, you can't come with us." "Well, what do you mean, man? I got cleansed too. What are you doing?" You see, Jesus told us to go to the priest.
Yes.
You're a Samaritan.
Instruction.
You don't belong with us. Well, what do you mean I don't? I got cleansed like you guys did. Yeah, but man, there ain't no priest in Israel that's going to see you. You're an outcast. You're a half-breed. You're a nothing. You're a nobody. But matter of fact, now that we're cleansed, we're going to have to part ways, bud. You're going to have to step aside. We're not going to the synagogue with you in tow. And as the other nine, now that they've got relieved of their disease, they're like, no, man, serious, man, you can't.
That's right.
And that Samaritan, I can see as Jesus is watching this take place, and he sees the immediate, just because of this healing, he sees this immediate deterioration of what was a camaraderie that they had because of a common disease. Now religion is taking hold of them. Now it's not so common anymore. Now we don't have something together anymore. Now we've got to be separated.
Right.
And Jesus undoubtedly, and this is me, I'm trying to look through the eyes of how the master may have seen it. I don't know, but I kind of have the feeling that he probably turned around and just kind of shook his head and thought, my, after something like that, and this happens, and maybe he turned around, he took a few steps and started to walk away. And as that Samaritan stood there with his head hanging down, in total depression, and not knowing and understanding, and thinking, man, what am I going to do? Who is going to pronounce me cleansed? Who is going to say that I've been healed? Who's going to verify my cleansing? Who's going to verify my redemption? And his head's hung down as the other nine walk away. And then all of a sudden, he realizes, I know who's going to verify my redemption. I know who's going to verify my cleansing. Jesus will verify my cleansing. Jesus will be the one that will tell me I'm cleansed. He'll be my great high priest. He'll be my Savior. I don't have to go show myself to a man anymore, but I can go show myself to Jesus. And as he did, I can see Jesus walking away and contemplating and thinking all the things that were going on. And that man began to run. Hey, Jesus, wait up. Jesus, I got something to talk to you about. And he came running and he fell down at the feet of Jesus and began to worship him. Because he realized, I've got to get some validation too. I got to make sure that I'm cleansed too. I got to make sure that I know he has cleansed me. And so as Jesus turns around and he sees the one bowing down and worshiping him, Jesus accepts that worship, but stops him and says, wasn't there 10 that were cleansed? Where are the other nine? What happened to the other ones? Where are they at? Why are they not with you? What's going on? He doesn't really have an answer. He doesn't know really what to say. He just continues to worship the master. He continues to give him glory and honor and praise. He said, were there not 10 cleansed, and yet the others were not found there to return and give God glory? And notice what it says here. Save this stranger. Save this stranger. I didn't realize the significance of why the Samaritan was pinpointed or brought out. But it is obvious that he was the focal point of the whole story, really. And how the Jewish people, even though they had leprosy as well as somebody else did, they were still had this religious aura around them. That they were still better than he was. That they were still superior than what he was. And so we see this stranger, this nobody. And how many in the world today feel like a stranger, feel like a nobody, feel lonely and destitute, even though they may have somebody in a common situation, how sometimes they can go off and they stand there with their mouth hung open wondering, what's going to happen to me? What am I, just chopped liver? Am I a nobody now? Do I have nothing to live for? God forbid that that ever happens to us in the church. Amen. Because we've all been plagued of this sin called leprosy. We've all had this disease at one point of our life. And God forbid that we ever forget the severity of our sin. The severity and the condition of our disease. That we never think that we're above somebody else. That has that. But Jesus wants to cleanse them. Jesus wants to heal them. He wants to give them life all over again. God forbid that we ever treat somebody ill because of their disease.
Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah. And he said unto him, arise and go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. I'm afraid today, and I'm going to bounce around a little bit and go back into the leprosy issue in a minute, but I'm afraid today that some of us, that you become more religious than you have anything because you have really forgotten about the sin of leprosy that was once plaguing your life.
Right.
I told somebody the other day, and I told my wife, and I mentioned this in a couple different scenarios this past week even, that some of us, even in this house, we have experienced the cleansing power of a healing from Jesus of this leprosy. Leprosy was always a type and shadow of sin. And there's many of us here in this building today that we have experienced the cleansing power from sin.
Right.
Yes, sir.
But there are many of us that have not been made whole.
Right.
And there's a difference between being cleansed and forgiven of your sins and being made whole. I said there's a difference from just being forgiven of your sins and being made whole. And it's a shame today that we have people walking around that know that they've been forgiven of their sins but still have no peace in their life and still have no joy in their life and still have no contentment in their life. They're still miserable even though they know that they've been forgiven of their sins. And that's exactly what I'm preaching about here today. There's some of us, we can shout and we can worship about being healed from our sin, but we haven't been made whole because we don't have the peace of God like we are intended to have. We don't have the joy of the Holy Ghost like we're intended to have. Oh, somebody, you better hear me today, because I'm telling you, God wants to make somebody whole. He's interested in saving you and forgiving you of your sins, but he's also more interested in making you whole, making you complete.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. When I looked up this word, cleanse, it simply did mean to purify. To just be clean. That's all it was. But when the word whole was used, it was used in the light that it means to preserve from destruction. Literally, to save and to rescue from the enemy, to keep safe and sound from all danger. You know what? I'm thankful that God took away my sins, but I want Him to make me whole. I want to be kept safe and sound from any danger. I want my life to be preserved from destruction. I want Him to rescue me and save me from all of my enemies. Oh, thank God for the forgiveness of sins. But Lord, make me whole. Make me complete. Make me whole today. I'm going to tell you the key was, is He fell down and He worshiped Him.
Right.
He worshiped Him. Do you understand what that really means? He said, you know what? There ain't nothing else that matters. You are worth everything to me. I'm committing, I'm submitting, I'm dedicating my entire life to you.
Yeah.
That's what real worship does. We can praise God and not be committed to Him.
Right.
There's people all over this valley today sitting in buildings just like this.
Right.
That are praising God, but they're not committed to Him.
Right.
They're not dedicated to Him. And I'm not trying to cast a shadow or be nasty or hateful or anything, because the same thing is here today. There's some that will be here and you're just here to praise Him, but you're not here to worship Him. Because when you begin to worship Him, there is a difference between the praise and the worship. Oh, we can praise Him for forgiving us of our sins, but when we wholly worship Him and give Him everything, I don't have any thing left, God. My life is completely yours. My mind, my members, my emotions, everything, God, is yours. I have nothing to offer. I have everything to give to you today. And therefore, that brings about the difference between just being healed and being made whole. If you'll allow me to digress a moment on this topic of leprosy, one who had this dreaded disease was a hopeless situation. He was a hopeless case. If anyone came close again, they had to call out. Can you imagine how it must have been? How hopeless of a situation it must have been for these men. Amen. A hope they knew nothing of until Jesus came down that dusty road that day. Understand again, this is one of the last miracles that Jesus does on His way to Calvary's cross. He is fulfilling the law when He said, and the lepers are going to be cleansed. He's making sure every T is crossed and every I is dotted. I'm going to heal, I'm going to save, I'm going to deliver. And I'm on my way to Calvary to pay the ultimate price for your life.
Amen.
Some of them were blessed to come in contact with the only one that could deliver them. Matthew 8 and verse number 2 said, behold, there came a leper and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. And here is the place where Jesus put forth His hand and touched him, saying, I will. Be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Oh, friend of mine, today I believe Jesus is in the house as He was in the physical of that day. That if we will cry out to Him and call out for His mercy and say, God, I need a cleansing. I need a touch from You like nobody else can give me. I believe God will reach back and touch you and say, be thou cleansed. You're forgiven. I'm interested in your future. Notice that so many of the miracles Jesus performs, He never goes back into their past. He never digs into what happened to them years ago and things ago. hours ago. But from that point on, from the place that he meets us, they meet Jesus, he's only interested in their future. I'm here to tell you today, somebody, that God's only interested in your future. I said God's only interested in your future. You can get all wrapped up on your past failures and past mistakes, but God is interested in your future. One touch from the Master's hand, this incurable disease had to leave. He touches them unlike any other setting. And again, I already mentioned it before, in another scenario, he doesn't touch them. This one, he does. He breaks all rules. He breaks all the laws. Oh, if somebody could get a hold of this today, there's something that needs to burn down on the inside of us. As one God, apostolic, Jesus name, Holy Ghost filled people, that we are not scared to reach out and touch a leper. That we are not afraid to reach out and touch a leper. But I'm afraid that some of us are. We're afraid we're going to get dirty. We're afraid something bad is going to happen. But I'm going to tell you, I want to be like Jesus and reach out and touch a leper. I want them to be made whole. And they know they got to feel the touch of the Master's hand reaching for them and loving them. Believing in them. Understanding that it's not by the touch of my hand, but it's by the touch of the Master's hand. I'm reminded, I believe it's John chapter 5. If my memory serves me correct, I may be wrong. But he said that greater things than these shall ye do. He walked the face of this earth to give us an example of how we should live, of how we should reach out. And we may see somebody that we, oh God, I've been guilty just like everybody in this building has. You can look at somebody for face value and say, ah, they don't want to live for God. But on the inside of them, they're screaming out, they're crying out, I'm suffering, I'm miserable, I'm undone, I'm plagued with leprosy, I'm doomed to death, I'm doomed to be lost. I want somebody to just reach out and touch my leprous body. I'm telling you today, there's hope. There's hope. No matter what the leprous condition is, it doesn't matter how much leprosy you have and how much of your flesh has been destroyed, teeth falling out of your head, sores from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Maybe you've been so abused mentally and emotionally, maybe even physically. Your flesh has been ripped apart by the leprosy of sin. But I can tell you again that Jesus not only wants to forgive you, but he wants to make you whole. He wants to put life back in you. That he would be defiled. He wasn't afraid to touch them. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. I want that to be every beat of my heart. That he came to save, seek and save that which was lost. I've got to see people through the eyes of the Master. They may look perfect on the outside. I'll never forget listening to my wife's story the very first time. 19 years old, they had been steeped in drugs and alcohol, bulimic and anorexic, and messed up in all kinds of ways. And at a job, a man had testified to everybody but her, because he said, she's got it all together. Everything's got to be perfect in her life. But lo and behold, God was reaching for her. The very one that he said and he thought had it all together was miserable, was undone, and needed Jesus. I'm going to tell you, folks, don't look at what the outside looks like, because God looks way deeper than skin deep. And he knows the leprous condition of the heart. Reach for him, love him, seek and save that which is lost today. There are people in this world that we never come in contact with. People who need what we have. People who need the gospel of Jesus Christ. People who need a remedy for their lost soul. I pray that the church never becomes a religious organization. I pray that the body of Christ never becomes religious. Oh no, I don't want religion, because religion never saved anybody. But a relationship with Jesus Christ can turn your life around. It can turn your life around. The world is looking for hope today.
Yes, they are.
The world is looking for hope today.